Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Thursday morning, Thursday, October the 12th, 2023, 13 minutes past the hour, 53 degrees and partly sunny skies here in Marion. And guess what? The big election, and it is a big election this year in regard to many local offices, but also statewide issues. We've talked about them, recreational marijuana, abortion, both on the ballot this coming November 7th. Of course, some levies out in the River Valley area, school board members up for grabs, a lot of stuff going on November the 7th. And just a quick little plug, we will be on the air on November 7th starting at 7:15 p.m., and we will not go off the air until the election is called on all counts. So you're going to know where everything stands by the time we go off the air that night. We've got a great group together. Pastor Craig will be at Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be at Democratic headquarters. Matt Morgan will be at the Board of Elections. Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Carrington Nelson will all be in the studio with me, as well as the mayoral candidate on the Democratic side, Glenn Coble, which I don't believe has ever happened in the history of any election here, to have a sitting candidate for mayor getting the results live on the air in studio. But that will happen on election night. You're not going to want to miss it. And we're going to have some other guests that night, too, and some other call-ins statewide and local that you are not going to want to miss. That comes up November the 7th, starting at 7:15 p.m. So don't miss that. 20 days away. And with 20 days away, 20 days left in the home stretch here, the League of Women Voters had their candidates night on Tuesday at Harding High School. And as I said, no fault of theirs or anybody else's, but I just haven't heard a lot about it. We've reached out to people. I haven't heard anybody say anything. So let's go to somebody who was actually at that event the other night who can speak to what happened. And that is, of course, our friend, the Democratic candidate for mayor of the city of Marion, Glenn Coble. 20 days left to go. Glenn, how you doing?
Well, I'm here.
you're here this morning in the home stretch. Well, it looked like a beautiful setup. There's an article online in the paper today. Now, it basically tells us who was there, and that's pretty much it, and shows some pictures of the event. What happened Tuesday night? Give us an idea of what it was like.
Well, I was really I was looking forward to the opportunity quite a bit. One of the reasons why I got into running for mayor is not that I thought there was a great chance of me winning. I still have hope out. But one of the reasons I've run three different times is not so much to win, but to get the voice of the progressive voice out and tell people what we stand for, that we're not bad people, that we're good people. Matter of fact, our hearts are usually stronger than, I believe, our opponents as far as empathy goes. So that was what I had run on, basically. As you know, I had a show on your station called the Progressive Life, and that's really what I was trying to tell you, why it was a good life, why people that believe the way I believe, and I think I believe the way probably the nation believes right now, but not the way Ohio or Marion believes right now, but the way the nation believes. And so anyway, I went to it excited, and I was pleasantly surprised with the setup. They did a very nice job. League of Women Voters had it well set up. They had it highly planned out, but I thought it was only lukewarm water that we jumped into. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I was told when I went there, a person walked up to me and said, "You're running for Democratic mayor?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And I introduced introduced myself and gave him one of my cards and stuff like that. And he said, you're on the wrong side of the aisle. And I said, well, maybe for you I am, and I'm sorry, but I believe I'm on the right side of the aisle. But he said, look at this crowd. This is a Republican crowd. And first of all, I couldn't tell whether they're Republican or Democrat from looking at them, but he seemed to know. And so it was kind of kind of cooled me off for the event. But I still had a great time. They sat me next to my opponent, and we got to talk, which was nice. I hadn't talked with him. I'd said hi to him a couple of times. But we talked a little bit, and, that always makes you feel a little warmer about your opponent when you get to talk to them, because they really are real people. They're not boogeymen or anything like that. And so I enjoyed it, and I think the League of Women Voters, there are some things they could do that would make it a little bit better for the candidates, but they're doing it, trying to keep it completely nonpartisan, I guess you would say. And sometimes when you try to keep things nonpartisan, they cease to have their spice that some people would like to have in them.
What would you say the crowd was like, Glenn? How many people were there?
I'm guessing 150, something like that. It wasn't a bad crowd. It was not overwhelming crowd, but you didn't look out at the crowd and say, oh, there's nobody here. It was a pretty good crowd, I thought. It could have been better. I would have liked to have seen more publicity on the event. I think I put it on my Facebook a few times, but I really didn't see a whole lot of publicity about it. I would have liked to see more of that.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking before we went on air this morning. I moderated that event for several years. And it's interesting because the crowd in the room, now you hope the crowd listening to it on radio is a diverse crowd, but the crowd in the room to me always seemed to be either sitting local politicians or people who supported the candidates, their particular group.
You hit it on the head. That's exactly who it was. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I should say this, but I am absolutely positive that one of the questions came from the family of my opponent, because he had the answers written out before the question came up.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I saw that he had some answers written out. And I saw one other candidate, I'm absolutely certain she had her answers written out to a question that came up. Now, that doesn't mean the person may have written down those answers to the questions, in contemplation after hearing the other people talk. But and then we had several questions that were asked of the entire group, which they were kind of vague questions. If you can ask that the county commissioner or county trustee the same question that you ask the mayor, it's probably a pretty general question. I was told a long time ago, you can't run on national issues, in Marion. Well, I think that's the way politics, and I know I've heard it 1,000 times, politics are local. Well, they may be local to some people, but I believe the general public votes on what they watch on TV and what they read on their Facebook, and those things all come from the national issue. And I think I was on the right side of the aisle nationally. I'm on the wrong side of the aisle, probably, as far as Ohio or Marion goes.
Now, I do want to say something here, just so we can clear up what you just said. So you're saying, because the questions do come from the audience, so what you believe, so your opponent had the answer to the question already written down before the question was asked. Is that what you were saying?
No, I'm guessing that. Because I was sitting there and the question came up and it was about law and order. And he seemed to look to his notes. and I had I didn't even think there would be questions about law and order in Marion, Ohio, but there were. And so at that, sometimes you kind of wonder.
So, as far as questions directed at your race or you, what was the most interesting question of the night that you got?
Boy, I honestly can't tell you the answer to that because I didn't think any of the questions were very hard hitting. I really expected somebody would say, what are your qualifications? Nobody even asked. I guess they figured we'd tell them that in our speech, which, by the way, if you want me to read it to you, I have it here.
I do.
I think most of the questions were kind of milquetoast. They weren't real hard-hitting. I would have liked to have seen, what I'd like to see is if we had a more, I'm not sure what the word is, if we had a group of writers and broadcasters that were really steeped in the business, they could ask questions. But as you know, we don't have a whole lot of that around there, not a whole lot of people.
You know, that surprises me in a way because even though the crowd used to be stacked, as I always felt, with people who supported the candidates or people who were involved in local politics, the debates that I they're not debates, they're candidates' nights, I guess is what they call
them. Yeah, they're not debates at all.
Right. The events that I moderated, I always felt the questions were very sharp. Now, some years more than others, but I always felt they were very directed and very personal. Now, were they sent in by people who didn't like that candidate? Probably. They sent in? So there was always a lot of that. So it's interesting that this year it seems like there was none of that.
Well, it would have been, they would have been a lot more interesting, the questions, had they not been directed to the entire panel. And I think there were at least three questions, maybe four, that were directed to the entire panel. So the audience had to listen to, I don't know, I'm guessing 12 or 13 people up on stage, each person answering the exact same question from the trustee to the mayor. And you know, you can't ask the same question of a mayor that you would ask of a city councilman or a trustee. You need different questions, and I didn't think we had those.
Well, one of the things about this event, and again, I don't want this to come off as a criticism at all. I'm just from somebody who's done it, and maybe giving people a little peek inside what happens at this event. The moderator does not come up with any questions. The questions come from the audience, and the questions used to come from the telephone. Did they still take phone calls?
I think that they had, they announced that you could call in, and I don't know if any of those questions, I don't think I remember hearing the moderator say that the question from the phone caller. But they did have the phone available, but I don't think there was enough publicity that people knew they could call in.
Well, it's just interesting that you bring up this, that the whole panel of 13 people were asked a lot of questions. Now, that is one thing that, as the moderator, that you have control over, and I was very conscious of, because you get a ton of questions, but you only have 90 minutes to do the program. So I always knew, because it's very time conscious. You have to give every candidate a certain amount of time to answer the question or rebut a question. So when
they
you're
did that very well, they did do that very
the,
well.
The timing, yeah. But yeah. The issue is when you get all these questions in front of you as the moderator, I always tended not to do the whole group because I knew we had 90 minutes, and I knew if I did the whole group, that was going to take close to a half hour just to do one question.
Yeah.
So I would try to find questions that were for specific races, and I'm not saying that there. I don't know what the questions were, so I don't even know that happened that night. But that's what I always felt kept the thing moving, and I don't know how that went this year. But you know, it sounds like the event was a little different.
It could have been more exciting.
I guess. So in any event, so no big questions. No, do you think anything was won or lost on that night?
I was hoping when I went in that I would win some voters. I truly was. But my guess is I didn't lose any. That's about all I can say. I don't think I lost any. I, I, my opening speech was, I thought, pretty good, and told where I was, and there were no questions that caught me off guard. I can't remember what the question was. There was one question that I couldn't answer as well as I should have been able to, but it was kind of a bad question, I thought. I mean, it wasn't important at all, but anyway, I guess that's where I stand. I can't go any further than that. I'm forgetting where I'm standing.
Now, how did you feel your opponent Bill Collins did?
He did fine. He did fine. He had good responses. I learned a lot about him because I didn't know as much as I should. You know, a lot of people think you go out and do all this op study or something like that so that you can give them tough questions and drill them down. Well, first of all, you know you're not going to have a real debate, so you don't have questions that you can nail your opponent on. And second of all, I told my staff, my group, I was not going to play dirty politics. I was not going to try to put my opponent in a bad light. Now, if you'll recall, Scott, there was a time back, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, where there was a question of whether my opponent should be still employed as he was running for office. And I had people come up to me and say, oh, you got to nail him on that. And I told all those people, I want him to win or lose, or me to win or lose, based on what the people think of our opinions, not something as picayune as whether he's working or not. I guess that's where I stand on that.
You know, Glenn, when we spoke a little...
Excuse me, I have a bad cough.
No. When we spoke about 2 weeks ago, you had talked about the lack of support from the Democratic Party. Has that picked up in any way?
No.
Did you hear anything back from that interview we did? Because I heard from people who saw that interview. It was interesting.
Well, I did and I didn't. I heard no one directly that said, I heard that interview and boy, you're in trouble. But I did talk to some people about the interview, and I did have some people say, oh boy, you're in trouble. I don't think of myself as being in trouble. I told it the way I really, truly, honestly believe it is. And I didn't try to run anybody down. The one question that somebody asked me is, why did you blame things on the mayor? Well, I didn't blame it on the mayor. I said the mayor is the top of the Democratic Party here in the city, and he has to hold some of the responsibility of where the party is. That's all I said. I didn't say it's his fault.
Now, was the mayor in attendance the other night?
I did not see him, no.
Have you spoken
to... He was hiding in the back room somewhere.
Have you spoken to the mayor since that interview?
No, have not.
But
we haven't spoken a whole lot. That's one of my disappointments. I thought he was going to, you know, call me up and say, hey, come down to the office, we'll go over this stuff. And quite frankly, that hasn't been done. But that's fine. That's his... he's getting out of the business. He doesn't want to keep on in the business. I don't blame him at all for that.
And here we go.
I would have preferred to have him, you know, get more involved. But, you know, that's not the way he feels right now.
Want to talk here about a few things, but I do want you to read the speech, so we're going to save time for
you
that.
Do?
I do. So we're going to get to it here. But we are 20 days left to go. At this point, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. There were 5 weeks left then. Now we're less than four. Do you think you're going to get the mayor's endorsement? It is a big deal for a lot of people. Not that he would endorse you. I don't know that that will get votes. I really don't know how that all works. But the reason it's a big deal, because you have a 16-year incumbent mayor, Democratic mayor of the party you're of, and it just looks like if he doesn't endorse, that there's no unity in that party, is what I hear from people.
Well, you may have hit it on the head, but I haven't asked him to. I figure if he wants to do, I think an endorsement should be a sincere desire to help somebody move ahead. I think there was an endorsement given to some people from the Fraternal Order of Police, which I knew I had no chance at. I got an endorsement from the Democratic Club, which, you know, I would have been very disappointed if they hadn't done it. I don't know. Endorsements don't seem much to me. Do you ever, when you go and vote, do you ever think, oh, wait a minute, he was endorsed by that person or she was endorsed by... I don't think people even think of those things.
Well,
because I think you're endorsed by people that... Now, surely the Fraternal Order of Police is going to endorse a policeman of 37 years, right? Can you imagine the opposite?
Well,
unless he was really, really a horrible person, but he is not.
Well, what I find with endorsements from people, what people tell me is, it's not so much that it encourages people to vote for you. It just raises questions because people will say, well, of course the Democratic mayor is going to endorse the Democratic candidate for mayor. And when that doesn't happen, that's when people go, well, what's wrong there?
Well, I'm going to leave it this way. That's might be an indictment of me, but I think of it as not an indictment of me at all. I think it's up to the mayor. If he wants to, that's fine. If he doesn't want to, that's also fine. I don't believe it just indicates either a lack of something for me or just a lack of thought about it. You know, I mean, I'm not thinking about it, so therefore I don't call him up and say, hey, are you going to give me your endorsement? Why should I do that? If he wants to give me endorsement, he truly, sincerely believes that I'd be a great mayor, then he can do it. If obviously he doesn't truly believe I'd be a great mayor, and I can understand that, but neither one of the candidates have any background in being a mayor, so it's kind of tough to determine one way or the other.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I'll tell you just and for the people of Marion, just because I've been around the political scene for a long time now, the last time that this happened, when Jack Kellogg was the sitting 16-year mayor of Marion, Republican, Jack Kellogg was a Republican, the race for mayor that year when he was retiring was Scott Schertzer, the Democrat, and Phil Reed was the Republican.
Right.
And Jack Kellogg was, people thought, of course, he's going to endorse the Republican, Phil Reed. And he didn't. And I think Jack Kellogg's reasoning at the time was, he said, you know, these are both city council people. I've worked with them both, and I just want to stay out of it. And Phil Reed ended up losing that election. The Republican ended up losing that election. And he harbored some very negative feelings toward Jack Kellogg because he didn't endorse him. Now, not that Jack Kellogg would have gotten him votes, but they were of the same party. He was the sitting 16-year mayor. Why didn't he do it? And a lot of people, I think, are starting to say, boy, this looks awful familiar.
Well, let me put it this way. If I am not endorsed by the current mayor, I will harbor no ill feelings towards him for not endorsing me. I truly won't. I wasn't looking forward to when I got into the business, and I've never had any expectation of it. So, you know, that's fine.
Before we get to the speech, there are a couple things here going on locally that I want to talk about. The auditor, front page of the paper yesterday, the auditor, I should say the city council voted unanimously, 9-0, to bring in outside help to try to help this auditor. Yeah. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's a good idea. As a matter of fact, after I was at Monday's city council, but 2 weeks ago city council meeting, I was there, and Lois Fisher, who happens, I believe, to be a Republican, she got up and asked the current auditor if she had gotten a CPA to help out, and so the current auditor said she had not, and I think Lois was absolutely right. She said, don't you think that would be helpful? And really encouraged her to think about getting a CPA. And I agree with Lois on that. I think, matter of fact, I told her afterwards, I thought that was a great idea to get a CPA. It doesn't mean anything bad about the auditor. It just means the auditor isn't a CPA, so she needed expert help. So I did not, it was not unexpected to me that they were going to vote a censure on the, I guess, I'm not sure if it's called a censure, but they did not support her by suggesting we get more help there.
Again, Miranda McGinnis, for people who don't know, our current auditor is running unopposed this coming November, so she is going to be the auditor again, no matter who the mayor is. Now, Glenn, should this be you, does this cause a problem? The city has no bond rating. The auditor, in my last interview with Mayor Schertzer, he said he'd lost confidence in the auditor. We're having to bring somebody in from outside of Marion to help the auditor. Does this pose a big problem for the mayor?
Well, I think it poses a problem for the city, and I don't think it poses a problem for me as much as the city. Now, if I am fortunate enough to win, that is one of the things that I will address. I will firmly place my feet on the side of getting a CPA or, help from outside. I'm fairly certain that my opponent will do the same. It just seems too obvious not to help her out. I felt sorry for her at all these city council meetings that I've gone to where they ask her questions and can't give an answer. I've been there when I was in school. The teacher calls on you and you don't have an answer. But that's not a good excuse for being the elected auditor of a city. I think it will cause a problem. Having no bond rating is absolute disaster for the city, I believe. Well, not absolute. That's kind of crazy to say absolute disaster, but it's not good for the city. So we've got to work on that, and that's something we need to find a way to better. And I think by bringing in outside help, that will help that. I'm not sure the bond rating will go up immediately, but we can work on the bond rating by doing our due diligence fiscally and continuing to keep our eye on the prize. As a matter of fact, that's one of the main reasons why I'm running for mayor. We need people in positions that can make the other person accountable. And right now we are going to a position in the state and in the city where Republicans right now are not accountable to anybody. Now, you might say they're accountable to their voters, but their voters will do what their leash holders will tell them to do. That's a terrible indictment to say that of our voters, but quite frankly, I see a lot of our voters really not paying any attention to what's going on. They just vote R or D anymore. It used to be you'd vote for the person that you thought could do the job, but it seems to me that it's gone the other way. And so I think the idea of having extra help in an auditor's position who is appointed by Republicans, I think we need to have somebody looking over her shoulder.
Glenn, I think what a lot of people feel here is that we have had auditors for a long time in the city. They've done the job. I'm sure there have been mistakes made here and there, but it's been done. And now, all of a sudden, we have somebody who we have to bring in help to do their job, who could possibly be getting a pay raise, who makes a decent salary, who decided she wanted to run for this office. I think that turns some people off in a way. You know, we elected you to this position. You're supposed to do this job. We're paying you to do this job. Other people have done this job. Why do you need help?
Well, you know what? I blame that on the voters. And I know that's terribly harsh. But you probably have numbers or could find out numbers on who voted and how many people in the city that could vote did vote in that election that elected the people that appointed her, or not appointed her, but elected her, they obviously didn't do their homework. That's one of the things I was just talking about. People do not do their homework anymore. If they had done their homework, we wouldn't be in this situation. And this isn't the first situation. She is unfortunately being compounded by her predecessor, who was also not very good. So,
well, it is interesting. I should point out that Miranda McGuinness was appointed. She was never elected, but
that's right.
She is running this time, but unopposed, so the voters have no other choice. So really, in her case, the voters have never had a choice when it came to her.
Well, and I blame that on us, as a Democratic club or a Democratic party or whatever you want to call it. We didn't put anybody up, and that's really the heart of why I ran. We didn't have anybody up for mayor until 3 days before the final day to get your petitions in, and I volunteered. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I volunteered, and with my heart in it, I went into that position, and knowing full well the chances of me winning were not great. There was an opportunity, but people have to get out and vote, and it just makes me angry as all get out when people blame politicians for not doing what they want, but what, 60% of them don't go to vote? It just drives me nuts.
Now, when you look at the situation on the whole, you say you got into this because 3 days left to go because there was nobody else running for mayor on the Democratic side.
Absolutely. We needed to have somebody standing there to make the opponent accountable. And unfortunately, if nobody goes out and votes for me, he won't feel any accountability either.
Go ahead. Have you enjoyed this experience? Now we're in the home stretch, 20 days left to go.
Boy, what a great question. Yes, I have enjoyed it quite a bit because I've met a lot of people. I've been able to drive my RV around and with my big signs on it, and I've given out a lot of information. But I absolutely hated it, because it takes up time that is getting a little precious when you get to my age. It takes up time that you want to be with your wife and your puppy dog and your family. And it's not easy work. I've got three people that have really been, Fred Malone, who you know, Dr. Terry Brown, who I don't think you know, is my campaign manager, and also Terry Klein. All three have helped me immensely, and I feel so guilty that I haven't put 190% into the running. But you do what you can do, and I work every single day on something with the campaign, and it's hard work. It's not easy work, but yes, I guess I would have to say I've enjoyed it more than I've not enjoyed it.
you know something interesting, Glenn, and we've talked about this in the past. One of the knocks on your campaign has been, and it's from some in your own party, has been that you're not working hard enough. I need to see more action from you before I do something. You don't have the fire
yeah,
in the
belly. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, we've heard that before. Fire in the belly. You don't have the fire in the belly. Why would you do this if you don't have the fire in the belly? All those things aside, do you want to be mayor? You did, when you say that you've enjoyed this experience, but you've also hated it. At your age, you like to have free time and do your own thing and take the RV out. Do you want to be mayor?
Well, I tell you what, I would be a great mayor. I truly believe that. Does it burn inside of me to be mayor? No, it doesn't burn inside of me to be mayor because it's a lot of work. But, yeah, I'd like to prove I'd be a great mayor if I was given the chance. Matter of fact, I've been having daydreams and night dreams as well about my office hours and how excited I am to have the office hours and listen to the people and maybe make decisions that will help the people. I do want to be mayor. I think I would be a very good mayor.
On election night, if you end up not being mayor, will it be a great disappointment?
Oh, I'll be tearing my hair out, all three strands. No, it won't be a disappointment. You know, when you live in Marion and you live in Ohio as a Democrat, you're told by, like I was told at the League of Women Voters, you know, basically, you know, you don't have any chance at this. You know, I've been told that many more times than I've been told, oh, you're going to win. Matter of fact, the only three people that told me I'm going to win, I think, were the three I just mentioned. But even my wife knows the chances of me winning are not real high. But I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry about that.
Well, did you want to be mayor, I think, was the initial question.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I think I answered that. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
So
I would be a good mayor, and I would be a mayor that would listen to the people. I don't know about Mr. Collins. He might be very empathetic. He might be a good listener. I don't know. So I'm going to leave that alone, and I would never tell people he wasn't anyway. So,
what's the biggest drawback for people to vote for Bill Collins? Because at some point you have to feel you're the better candidate, I would believe, or why else would you be running? Why would you not vote for Bill Collins if it wasn't Glenn Coble on the ballot? Because you live in the city. If it was another Democrat and Bill Collins, why would you not vote for Bill Collins?
Well, I'll tell you straight up the reason why personally I wouldn't vote for Bill Collins. He's a nice, seems like a nice gentleman, but he's been a cop for 37 years. I don't believe, with all the horrible things that have happened throughout the United States, kids being shot and then cops getting off, kids being choked to death and then cops getting off. I don't like the idea of having a policeman be the head administrator of my city. I feel uncomfortable about that. Not that he would be bad at it. I'm just saying I'm uncomfortable about that. And if I had a choice between voting for him or somebody else, let's say I wasn't running and I was going to vote for somebody else, that would probably be the first thing that would pop into my head of why I wouldn't vote for Mr. Collins. I can't. He has a family, a nice family. He has. He's lived here a long time. He's had some good training. That's the one thing that popped into my head when I first heard that he was running, is that I'm really uncomfortable having the policeman be the head administrator in a city. It bothers me.
One question here, it's a little bit of a national question before we get to the speech, because we do want to hear the speech from the other night. But it became a bit of a local issue because it involved our representative, Jim Jordan. As many people know, Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy was ousted by his own party. First time that's ever happened in the history of the House of Representatives that a speaker has been ousted, let alone a speaker ousted by his own party. And they are looking for a new Speaker of the House. And one of the names that has come up is our representative in this district, Jim Jordan. And how do you feel about Representative Jordan, and should he be the next Speaker of the House?
Well, if the truth be known, when I ran as a trustee, 12 years ago, something like that, I really wanted to run against Jim Jordan, but somebody else was running against him. Not that going from trustee to running against a congressman is a short step. That's a long step. But I really, when I started looking into running, that's really what I wanted to do. Then when I ran for Congress, when I ran for Ohio Congress, I wanted to run against Jim Jordan, but we still had a good person running against him, Janet Garrett. This time, it continued. People were running, so I didn't run against him. He is the one person I would have loved to run against. And if you talk about a fire in the belly, I would have had more than a fire in the belly to run against him. I don't think he's done anything right. He has done no policies. He's exactly on the wrong side of the questions. Now, I know local politics is supposedly not national politics, but again, people vote how they vote nationally anymore. And I'm pro-women's choice. I'm pro... I'm anti... having people be able to carry a gun down the street on their hip. I'm not against guns. I believe in sane gun control. I'm pro-choice. I'm also pro-marijuana. Not that I think everybody should go out and do a doobie, but I think it's time for marijuana to have its place, at least in relationship to alcohol. People abuse alcohol, and I think they would abuse marijuana less. But anyway, I'm kind of losing my
should he be Speaker of the House? Should he be Speaker of the House?
Oh, thank you. So I don't believe he would be. I don't believe he's a good congressman, let alone Speaker of the House.
Quick question.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, but quick question here, because you were involved in high school athletics for a great deal of your life. And since Jim Jordan has offered himself up for a candidate of Speaker of the House, put his resume in, Columbus media and national media have started talking about the Ohio State wrestler abuse scandal again. I just saw the other night where a Columbus media source ran a full story on it because he is running for this position, Speaker of the House. From your time involved with high school athletics, do you believe that Jim Jordan knew what was going on?
Well, first of all, yes, I was a high school athlete. I was also a college athlete, and I also was an assistant athletic director at two Division I major colleges, Ohio University and also DePaul University, for 18 years. I knew my assistant coaches, and I knew that every one of those would know how to answer the questions that somehow or other he couldn't figure out the right answer to. I think he's fibbing at best. Surely he knew something was going on. And if you know something's going on, as an assistant coach, it's your responsibility to find out how to correct it. And I think he failed miserably at that. And I think he should be held accountable for that. But in Ohio, we don't hold people like that accountable, apparently.
When he says he did not know, do you believe he's lying?
Yes.
Okay. we want to get okay. We've got 4.5 minutes left to go. Let's hear your speech.
Okay, it only takes 90 seconds.
we'll have another 2 minutes to talk here.
Okay, all right. My name is Glenn Coble. I'm a minister's son, an Army vet, a Valparaiso University graduate. I've been married 52 years. I have 3 children, 7 grandchildren, and I've been a retail manager, an athletic administrator, a media writer and announcer, a small business owner, and a finance administrator. I have administrated dozens of employees in retail, athletics, and finance. I've owned a home in the city of Marion for over 18 years, and I stand for change and choice, honesty and sincerity, encouraging diversity in thought and in administrative makeup, and listening to all who have sincere, fact-based ideas for improvement. Your vote for me will encourage honest government by supporting multi-party system and discouraging the creeping corruption that money politics and a one-party system has brought to both Ohio and Marion. Items that I will pursue as in Marion are quiet areas and reinstating restrictions on long stops for railroads, encouraging continued downtown business development and beautification, developing stronger auditing rules for the city, encouraging better community development and engagement by city police and the government workers, strengthening an open door policy for the mayor and the city management. Your vote for me will make a stronger, kinder, diverse, thought-provoking government. Thank you.
If
what do you think?
Yeah, not If they liked it, that's great. 3 minutes left to go here. If you are to win on November the 7th, what is going to swing it? You feel you're the underdog. People have told you you're the underdog. What's going to help you win this election?
Well, I think what might help me to win the election is the national swing towards intelligent government. I think there is it's a slow, but I think there is a national swing that way. People who care about other people who care about women's rights, people who care about protecting our children, that swing. It's been slow, and it's even slower here in Ohio, but I think it's kind of leaning my direction. I'm not sure it's gone far enough yet, but I think it is leaning in that direction, and I think within the next maybe 8 years, we will see that things have switched back over to a more sane and more empathetic government for the American people and for our local people, for that matter.
30 seconds left to go. Have you decided, Glenn, is this going to be one and done, one term and done?
Pretty much one and done.
One and done.
I won't lock the door, but that's what I was going to say that in the meeting the other night, and then I thought, well, they don't care.
Well, who knows if they would have cared or not. Your Democratic candidate for mayor of Marion coming up on November 7th, Glenn Coble, and he'll be with us all night election night as the results come in starting at 7:15. Glenn, I'm sure we'll talk before then, but we'll definitely get together on election night. Thanks, Glenn.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Glenn Coble, there you go. Well, see, this is why you come here. You don't even have to go to those events. You just come to this show and you learn about what happened. Boy, we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow. Voice of the People with Linda Sims comes up 10:15 to 12 today, and Adam the Computer Guy 12:15 to 1. How many shows in the world can you get a Frasier review, a story about Helen Thomas, talk about succulents, and then talk about the mayoral race here in Marion, Ohio? Boy, oh boy, aren't we all lucky? Okay, for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
I just
made up that answer.
And then onward and upward.
I mean, you're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone...